Our gospel lesson today comes to us from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Let us listen to the word of God this morning. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Warrens are always running late, at least the men in our family. When I was younger, we were always late to church. Right during the first hymn is when we would show up. And when people invited us over for dinner, they would always tell us to get there 30 minutes before it started so that we would get there on time. My brother sets all of his clocks 10 minutes early so that he'll arrive to work on time. Now, Siobhan is the opposite. She tends to arrive early, so then we have to drive around the block about 4 or 5 times. So the Warrens have a problem, especially here in America where time is such a value. These days, I'm grateful for cell phones. I can now call or text to tell you that I'm late or on my way. So if I'm ever late to a meeting or to your house, don't blame me. Blame my father. It's his fault. When I was a missionary in Kenya, I arrived 20 minutes late to my very first meeting, only to discover that I was the very first to arrive. I realized in that moment that my ancestors must have come from Kenya. Kenyans were always running late, so I loved Kenyan time. However, there was another missionary in my group who felt very offended when Kenyans were running late to meetings. My friend Michelle felt that they weren't respecting her or her time. She felt that they were being rude every time they showed up late. She felt irritated that Kenyans just disregarded time. They all had watches. They all had cell phones. They knew what time the meeting was, but it didn't matter. They always arrived late. For me, it was a match made in heaven, but for Michelle, it caused her major stress. There's a saying in Kenya, haraka, haraka, haina baraka, hurry, hurry. It has no blessing. It's a pearl of wisdom from our Kenyan friends, yet for some Americans, that pearl is hard to fully comprehend, especially for my missionary friend, Michelle, who just couldn't drop her irritation of Kenyan time. That is until one day, until literally something smacked her down and she found herself with a whole lot of time on her hands. She was walking home during rush hour after shopping at a market, and drivers there have a tendency not to follow any traffic rules. They even drive on curbs and sidewalks if they have to. So as she's walking down the side of the road, a bus took the corner too closely and hit her hard on the back. She fell against the ground and shattered her pelvis. She's rushed to the hospital. Many of us donated blood for surgery, and she ended up staying in the hospital for several weeks. Ultimately, Michelle was okay. However, it was only due to her hospital stay that she learned what that phrase meant. Haraka, haraka, haina baraka. It really means that Kenyans don't worry about time or rushing, but rather they focus on people and relationships. Hurry, hurry has no blessing. We'd only been there for 6 months as missionaries, yet every Kenyan friend of hers, everyone from the church, even friends of friends came to visit her at the hospital. And when they came, they didn't worry about time when they visited her. They didn't just drop by to say hello. She discovered that Kenyans treasured relationships above time. And after she was all healed, she never fretted if someone arrived an hour and a half late to a meeting. She started visiting with folks as if time didn't matter. Haraka, haraka, haina baraka, hurry, hurry, has no blessing. The scripture text we read this morning is about hospitality. It's only 3 verses long, but it's about welcoming and receiving and sharing Christ's love. As a missionary, I've come to learn we can learn a lot from other cultures about hospitality. We can even learn a new understanding about time and relationships. It was essential for Michelle's healing. That time didn't matter in the hospital visits. It was the very reason she recovered so well in a far place from home. Now, the trouble for a Warren is I don't live in Kenya, so I have to recognize the importance and value of time in our country. It allows Americans to be one of the most productive nations in the world. And being respectful of time is how we value someone here. So to disrespect time here is to not be hospitable or welcoming. Yet I also think we must find ways to merge personal relationships and being timely. I've had a chance to experience good Southern hospitality as well as good Northern hospitality. I know here in Jacksonville, I have been on the receiving end of hospitality. When we arrived, there were care packages and letters and meals. Y'all were generous beyond belief. And not only that, I've seen this town come together during tragedy and loss of folks. Certainly, I've been on the receiving end of it, but so many others with an unexpected loss or injury. It seems like there's something unique here in Jacksonville. In fact, I think this is why people stick around here for generations. Many I meet say they've been here their whole lives, and others who come here tend to stick around. And yet, in this passage of hospitality, Jesus blesses and encourages those who give a cold glass of water to the little ones in the name of a disciple, it says. After attending a hot 4th of July parade and the blast this week, sharing a cold glass of water on a hot day can be a witness, certainly, to Christ's hospitality. And if we do it to the littlest and to the least, this simple act, something even children can do, can be a powerful witness of the grace of Christ. So we must challenge ourselves as Christ's disciples and ask tough questions. We must prayerfully ask God, how can I be welcoming? How can our actions at home, with our families, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, be one of hospitality and welcoming? And then what about those who live on the other side of town? Those who desperately need a cup of cold water, love and grace and acceptance, the folks Dan was talking about. How do our actions reflect Christ? We can certainly think about all these things. We can think about them till we're blue, but we need to move beyond that. It's easy for us to stay complacent. Yet Casting Crowns, a popular Christian band, has a song called If We Are the Body. It says this, if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, then why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Because there is a way. The way God does these things is through us. We are the body, and Christ gives us the chance to heal and to reach and to teach and to love in this world. So what can we do to share this hospitality? I want you to live out this scripture reading at home and at work and at places you don't normally go to. I want you to be creative, but don't do it because you'll get something out of it. Do it because Christ compels you. Do it as a response of Christ's grace to you. Do it because you are the body of Christ. 1 year ago, just about 1 year ago, just days after we moved to Jacksonville, I was hurt. I nicked my finger with a power saw. And over time, I couldn't mow my yard, and my neighbors, Todd and Jill Dillard, insisted on mowing our yard. I tried to pay them, but they wouldn't accept it. First off, I loathe mowing the yard. That is until I couldn't last year because of my injury. And for weeks, they just mowed my yard. And it was hard for me to sit on my couch knowing that they were working, hearing the lawnmower. But they did it without pay, without accepting anything in return. And something like that, it's pure, it's powerful, and it's inspiring kind of hospitality. And people notice it, especially if it's genuine, even if it's something simple like that. Have you heard about these pay-it-forward chains at coffee shops? Dozens of people have pulled into Starbucks drive-thru windows, discovered that the person ahead of them has paid for their drink, and they pass it on to the next person. It's just an example of the kind of hospitality I'll be working on over these next few weeks, and I hope you will too. What else can you do to show acts of hospitality to your family and your neighbors, random strangers, people who desperately need love and grace? Bake a pie or even cook a full meal for a neighbor. Give tomatoes from your garden to a coworker. You can pay for someone's gas, watch a neighbor's kids so they can go out, give a spouse a break from some of their usual chores. You can give stickers to children or check in on an elderly neighbor. You can drive around town and pray for and look for the ways to be the body. Healing, loving, paying attention. There's many ways to share hospitality. And I know God provides many times in a week for you to share it with others. Even time spending with someone. Even if you throw away the watch and start just visiting with someone. Sometimes that's all people need, is someone to listen to. And I hope when you notice it, that you'll pause and remember today's scripture reading. Take time out of your busy schedule to share the body of Christ. That's my challenge for you. Share hospitality always. You never know who it might touch. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.